And so tonight we're going to have the final talk in the Life and Spirit Seminar. It's going to be on growth. It's going to be given by Betty Tuzon.
You're probably wondering what is this in my hand, but this is something that a good friend of mine made for me, and I'll tell you a little bit about him before I end my talk today. But this is a chart that will show us how to grow in the Spirit. And somebody commented and said, why so small? Why didn't you ask for a bigger one? Well, if it's a bigger one, I won't be able to see where I'm going. So this is fine. This is fine. And it is from John 15, verse 5. He said, or Jesus Christ said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. I'll just put it over here. You have the hub, which is, it says there, Jesus Christ, because that's where the power of that vine comes from. And then you have the, the rim. The rim of the will, and that represents our spiritual life. So it goes forward or it goes backward. Sometimes it goes forward fast, a little bit backward, and then go fast. But we may have to make sure it doesn't go further backward and backward, or you'll never get to your destination. And we all know what our destination is, which is heaven. And so there will be problems along the way, but all this is both. Like you can see Jesus at the very center, which is the hub of the wheel, and that's where all the power comes from. And that's where he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, although he didn't say I'm the hub and you're the spokes of the wheel. But you get the idea, same thing, okay? The power comes from Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and all those spokes that are coming out are the means that he gave us to help us in our journey through life. The first one is prayer, and this is my favorite one because there's a lot of things to say about prayer. When I was growing up, we always say, you know, we say your prayers, and we always say in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Spirit, our Father, Hail Mary, glory be, and off to bed. And that's prayer. We go to Sunday Mass, that's prayer. But as I go through life and attending, you know, Life and Spirit seminars and, you know, learning about the Spirit in my life, prayer is not just babbling, although we do babble a lot, trust me. But it's more than that. It's being in the presence of God. And how do you do that? Sometimes you don't really need words. And what I do in the morning, and I know this is easier for me to say it because I'm retired. Most of you probably still work. And it's hard to wake up in the morning and do all your prayer things. But when you get a chance, even start with 5 minutes or 10 minutes every morning, when you wake up, thank God, you know, thank you God for another day, because the mere fact that open your eyes and God, I'm alive, thank you. You know, that's prayer, okay? With prayer, they say they have 4 aspects of prayer. You have the ACTS, adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, and supplication. Supplication is a fancy word for begging, okay? So you do adore. The first one is adoration. And why do we need to adore God? Hello, he is the creator of the universe. He made me, he made you. That alone is a good reason to say, thank you, Lord, for my presence on this earth. Thank you. And then you just go, I praise you and I thank you. And, you know, sometimes you run out of words in awe, but you are just so grateful for him being in our lives. And then the next one is, what did I say, ACT, contrition. This is the hard part because we have to admit that we are bad and that we did a lot of bad things in our life, and Lord, I'm really, really sorry. And I know I'm gonna do this again, I'm pretty sure, because I'm going to work today, and you know, that supervisor I'm telling you about, I'm pretty sure tomorrow I'm gonna be asking for the same forgiveness, but Lord, you know me, and I'll keep on coming back to you because you keep on forgiving me, and thank you for that. So the third one is thanksgiving. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this, and thank you, Lord, for that, and thank you for that wonderful guy you gave me for life, but you took away such a short time. But that's okay, Lord, because I know he's up there with you, looking after me and looking after my child and my grandchildren. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the means of livelihood. Just thank you for everything. And I can give you a list. And you have your own list of things to be grateful for. And that's between you and the Lord. But thank you, Lord. Thank you. And then the fourth one is our favorite part, is because it's the give me, give me, give me, give me. And give me this and give me that, and you know. And some of them are legitimate requests. You know, we're praying for somebody who's sick, and you know, we need, or somebody who needs a job and who needs help in his, you know, personal life. Those are legitimate requests. But some of them are kind of like frivolous, like I want a new dress and I want a new car and I want a new house. But that's okay, because we're human and we tend to be like that, and the Lord understands that. But the hard part of the supplication part, the S, is the little S that I seem to keep on adding at the end of those four letters, and that is surrender. That's just me, I made it up. Because it's the hardest part. You can ask, but you don't stop in, okay, Lord, I've given you all that I need. Bye. No, it has to be continuous. But, Lord, but, and this is the hardest part. But if it's not your will to give it to me, it's okay. You know, it's okay, Lord. Just give me the grace to accept it. And that is surrender. And I think that's the part that we have, I have, the most difficult part in my prayer life. So, okay, the first one is prayer. The second one is, well, it doesn't have to, the sacraments. The sacrament, well, we've all been baptized, I hope. We've all been confirmed. Some of us, you know, went through matrimony, and I don't think any of us would go through holy orders. So the two sacraments that are really, we're involved in right now are the sacraments of the Eucharist and penance or reconciliation. Well, we all know what they are. Reconciliation, you go to confession. You know, I don't know how often you're supposed to go to confession. I think as often as you sin. That's what I heard. For me, it's probably every week, but I don't do that. I try to go as often as I could because, you know, sometimes you don't have to have a big, really bad mortal sin to go to confession. Sometimes all those little things that you need to, you know, unburden yourself, and you talk to the priest and, you know, you ask questions or something like that. That would be good. I mean, you know, venial sins, mortal sins, whatever. We have to do that on a regular basis. It is good for our spiritual life, and it's good also, I think, psychologically. Okay. So the other one is the sacrament of Eucharist. When Jesus went up or ascended into heaven, he said, I'm going up to the Father, but I will be with you until the end of time. And he did come true with that promise, because he is still with us until the end of time in the sacrament of the Eucharist. And there is no reason for us not to be with him in the Eucharist, because we are so blessed that even in just our area here in the West Side, within 2 miles, you know, everywhere you turn, there's always a church. And when there is a church, there is a tabernacle, and there's a tabernacle, there's the Eucharist. So there's no reason for us not to be with the Lord, to talk with him, like actually see him in the form of bread and wine. No excuse. You can even go to daily mass if you want to. There's daily mass in all of this. I already know, because now that I have nothing too much to do, I go to Google, and I Google all the bulletins of all the different parishes there, and so I see all the mass times. And if I can go to this church, I'll go to this church or that church and this church. You know, they have a list of Eucharistic adoration, confession. So again, there is no reason for us not to do this. It's for our disposal, and we have to be grateful for God that we are still in this country. We can still do these things, unlike some countries I've been to. Okay, that's the sacrament of the Eucharist and the sacrament of reconciliation. And then the other one, I think, is service. Service is, okay, when we were baptized in the Holy Spirit, we were given gifts, we were given charisms. Is that the right pronunciation? Charisms. And charisms are I call them gifts for a lack of a better word, by the Holy Spirit, for us not to use for ourselves, but for the betterment of others. And so, you know, I go through, like, you know, we have, all of us have different gifts. We have the gift of teaching, the gift of prophecy, the gift of word, the gift of tongues, and on and on and on. I'm still waiting for my gifts. And it's been like more than 10 years. I'm sure one of these days is going to give me some gifts, but I really want to have the gift of tongues. I think that's wonderful. You know, all the people, like on my caring share, they're all speaking in tongues, and I'm like, you know, somebody said, just talk. And, you know, and it will come, but it hasn't come. So I'm still waiting, and I'm still praying for that, among other things. So you are given the gift of, like, you know, your ability to serve others, ability to pray over others, and, you know, people. There's so much. The important thing is you listen to the Holy Spirit, and He will not come to you and appear, you know, made an appearance, but He will knock the door of your heart. And if you listen carefully, you will hear it. Trust me, you will hear it. So that will be service. Now, service doesn't have to be something grand. When I first finished the seminar, I was so gung-ho. I was ready to roll. Give me some work, you know. And I go to, like, the churches and say, okay, I'm going to go, be a part of this organization. I'm going to go do this ministry and so forth and so on. But again, God has other plans for me. Every time I tell Him, Lord, I am ready to do Your work, He does something to my family and rearrange family situations, and I ended up not being able to do all of these things. And probably God said, you know, you don't have to go far for this. Just look into your own family. There is so much service that needs to be done. To be honest, I'd rather serve other people than my own family. But it doesn't work that way. You have to start with your family. And that alone is a big sacrifice, but that's the way God wants it to be, okay? So I'm not complaining, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling these people. So for service, sometimes, just the next door neighbor, he'll call me in the middle of the afternoon, "Hi, Betty, what you doing?" I said, "Nothing really." He says, "Would you like to come over?" And then he'll have a cup. And all she really wanted me to do is to sit with her. And then she starts babbling about her family. I just sit there and listen. I really didn't do anything except bubble this whole pot, you know, of coffee and stayed with her. But that is service. You don't really have to do big things. But for her, that's a big one, because probably nobody else wants to sit with her. So those are the things that you have to bear in mind. Don't go gung-ho about the Holy Spirit and say, "I'm here." Yes, you're here, but calm down. I will let you know what I want you to do. Okay, calm down. I want you to. So then, what's the next one? Service. I forgot. Study. After I finished the seminar, and I just realized there's so much I don't know about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is just, I shouldn't say just, it's the third person of the Blessed Trinity. That's all I knew about Him from, like, you know, when I was young. But I remember my mother always telling me, "Betty, you know," and I said, "Mom, I have an exam today, or I have a test today, or I have something very difficult to do today." She said, "Pray to the Holy Ghost." It used to be Holy Ghost. "Who?" I said, "Pray to the Holy Ghost." And that's all she told me. She told me, God bless her soul. And that was the first time I really took notice that there is this Holy Spirit, which is in the background behind our Father, God, you know, God the Father in Jesus. He was just right there in the, you know, at the background. But He is real. And I associated Him to knowledge, because my mother said, "You're going to have a test today. Pray to the Holy Ghost." And so that means knowledge. And I pray to Him, I will be enlightened. I will know what to do. I will know how to answer my test paper. So from then on, I knew Holy Spirit is guidance. Holy Spirit is knowledge. And then when I grew up, I realized that my mom was really, you know, she was right. The Holy Spirit is enlightenment, guidance, wisdom, and everything that flows with those three. So I try to do, you know, look for all the books I know about the Holy Spirit, about God, the spirituality. But what I forgot, which I eventually remembered, was I've forgotten the Bible. When we were kids, you know, we're Catholics, we don't read the Bible. So, until now. So I started going to Bible studies. I went to Corpus Christi, I went to St. James. I didn't come to St. Ives, whoops. But those two, you know, like, I will go and ask, do you have Bible study, you know. And I love it, I really love it. All of a sudden, the whole world opened before me. God was talking to me. Finally, he was talking to me, and I can understand what he's saying. Because, again, the Holy Spirit is up here. Okay, and so that study. Also, lately, I've been doing, online courses. They're free. But you have to be careful what websites you go to, because not all of them are legit. I usually go to the USCCB, website, and then they will have classes free, no tuition or anything like that, and there's so much to learn and so much to do. So that's study. And then the last one is fellowship. And this is fellowship. We gather every week. Our care and share team gather twice a month, and that's the sense of community. We need each other. They said, no man is an island, and it's so true. We cannot be alone. And God does not want us to be alone in this life. That's why he has our family, and he gave us each other, whatever kind of community we belong to, because we really need each other. I learned so much from my care and share group. They pray over me. They enlighten me, and we exchange, pleasantries sometimes. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we laugh. But it is the fellowship, it's the being present. Again, I want to use that word, being present to each other. It's a God-given gift. Just being there for one another. And that's fellowship. In conclusion, but it's not really in conclusion, because I'm going to say a little bit more. Now I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. Yes, this is very, very important, especially for the new, the new members. You are here not by accident. And yeah, you said, oh, I was invited, somebody called me, and I couldn't say no, so I'm here. You are here because God wants you to be here. And that's the only reason why you're here, okay? God wants you to be here. You could have said no, but God doesn't usually accept no for an answer, and that's why you're here. Case in point, and I like telling this story, and every time they ask me to give this talk, I have to tell you this story. I feel I have to. There is a point to this story, believe me. When, I don't know how long ago, shortly after my husband passed away, and then I retired from work, every now and then I would go home to the Philippines to visit. And whenever I go there, I book with friends, most of them my religion teachers. I don't know why I'm so close to them. Maybe because I needed a lot of religion teaching or something. But anyway, I'm really close to them. So I'll go out for dinner with them and stuff. So one night, I was having dinner with my theology professor, and we were in the middle of this sumptuous meal. And all of a sudden, she stopped. And she said, oh, Betty, when you go back to Cincinnati, you are going back to Cincinnati, are you? I said, yeah, I am going back. It's my home now, hey, whether you like it or not. So she said, yeah. I said, I'm going back. When you go back to Cincinnati, make sure you go and attend the Life and the Spirit Seminar. Now, remember, this is in the Philippines. This is on the other side of the world, okay? Let me remind you, I just live about 3 or 4 blocks away from this church, where the Life and the Spirit Seminar is, and I've been there for 25 years. Never heard of the Life and the Spirit Seminar. But God has other plans for me. He said, you can't get away from me. I don't care where you go. You can go the other side of the world. I don't care. But you will find out about this. And you better listen. And I go, what did you say? And this is my theology professor. Life and the Spirit Seminar. I said, what's that? And she said, you'll find out. And then she kept on eating like nothing, you know. So I kept on eating, and I go, sure. So when I came back here, less than a week after I came back, I got a phone call from a friend who got a phone call from Rose Waterman inviting me to Life in the Spirit Seminar. I lived less than half a mile from this church for years. And maybe I heard about it and didn't think anything of it. And God said, you can't hide from me. You can go and fly all over the globe. I'll get you. And he did. And I'm so grateful for him doing that. And I'm grateful for this community because it changed my life. And I promise you, one more story about this. Why is it small? Well, it fits me, okay? And it is small because, well, this was made by, a young man who was diagnosed with brain cancer when he was a little boy. He lives here in Cincinnati. He's a grown man now, he's in his 30s, but he's still having a lot of problems because of the effect of chemotherapy, you know, years of chemotherapy ever since he was a baby. But when he found out that I was giving this talk, and he said, "Aunt Betty, would you like me to, you know, do you that part?" Because he has lived a life in the spirit. And this family has gone through so much. And, you know, I can't begin to tell you, like, their faith never wavered. They have a ton of health issues until now. I think he's going to another surgery. The mother is having, like, suspicious lumps now, and major problems. But they have never forgotten the Lord. They haven't forgotten going to the Spirit, and their faith never wavered. And so I thought, I have to show this. I have to bring this with me, because this is what I'm talking about. This is what people do when they are with the Spirit. It doesn't matter whether it was difficult for him, because he has joint problems now. It was difficult for him to do all that, you know. And with the help of his dad, he was able to do that. That's why it's not too big, you know. And I always bring it with me because it's a testimony of what God can do to all of us, whether you're sickly, short, tall, you know, beautiful, ugly, whatever, you know. He has plans for you, and you cannot hide from him. And so, and I will end my talk with that, and may God be praised. May God be the glory. Amen.